Hi, I'm Max Philby, health and medicine reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. The coronavirus has infected hundreds of thousands of Ohioans and taken the lives of nearly 8,000 throughout the state. With the first vaccines arriving this week in Ohio, there's reason for optimism. But public health leaders have warned the vaccines won't stop the current surge of COVID-19 that has overwhelmed hospitals, including those here in the Columbus area. During the pandemic, most central Ohio hospitals have closed their doors to visitors to safeguard employees and patients. With the hospitalization skyrocketing, though, Mount Carmel Health System allowed the dispatch inside a coronavirus intensive care unit at its Grove City Hospital. Rachel Burgess, the charge nurse, runs the operation in the ICU and assigns patients to each nurse. She was the first person I saw when I walked into the ICU that morning. She was seated at a front desk near the front of the COVID ward. She was wearing green scrubs and a Wonder Woman clip pinned her hospital badge to her uniform.
I'm here long hours, and I try very hard to keep my staff's morale high. They are ready, have fantastic teamwork, and a very positive attitude about everything. But as I see them working hard and getting tired, I think one of the foremost concerns I have is making sure they feel supported and making sure they have the resources that they need and that they stay positive through all this and that they stay healthy themselves.
Sure.
Not just physically, but mentally and emotionally too.
It's got to be tough for you to keep your own morale up while trying to keep everybody else's morale up. I mean,
it can be at times, but this, I came from this team as a staff nurse, so this is my work family. Mm. So whatever I need to do to support them, I'm willing to do. Just that, how hard they're working, at great personal sacrifice. They're tired. They have families, they have babies and small children and pregnant wives, and they're putting themselves on the line to take care of these patients. And just that we're taking good care of them. I think it's been very hard too, because these patients, their families can't come in. And so we take a lot of phone calls from families who, of course, want updates and want to know how the well-being of their family member. And that's actually very tiring too, but we want to take care of the families as well.
You were talking kind of about just the toll this takes on people. I mean, I can even tell it's kind of hard for you to.
Yeah, it makes me emotional.
About, right? Yeah,
of course,
it does. Of course.
Yeah. So. And I think the length of time we've been doing this.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes patients, you know, we work so hard to keep them alive and to help them get well and recover from this. And when that doesn't happen, it takes a huge toll.
Rachel Burgess was one of several frontline workers I spoke to that day in the ICU. Another was Nurse Kyle Day, who I spent the majority of my time with. Day was sitting at a desk when I first approached him. He wore blue scrubs and his nose and face were bruised from the mask he had to wear during his 12-hour shift. Day was treating two patients while I shadowed him. Both of his patients needed a substantial amount of oxygen, but all things considered, Day said they were doing relatively well. One was a senior citizen, and the other was a 25-year-old, the same age as Day.
It just feels like more normal to us now since we're here. So, like, it's been 9 months now, and just always here. It was definitely not normal. It's been a big adjustment phase and, like, a roller coaster ride of when it first started out, it was absolute chaos. Like, so much was unknown, like, very worried, and people would get very, very sick and, unfortunately, pass away. And then it kind of seemed like we got some treatments, everything was going well, it seemed like things calming down, we really had like things under control, and then now it's picked up worse than it was back in March, and now it just feels like a little chaos again. Luckily we have the routine and the policies set in place, and so last time we were learning all the policies, but so a new normal, but not a good normal, hopefully not a forever normal. We have two, so here in the ICU we always try to do 2-to-1, so 2 patients to 1 nurse. That's not always the case. Recently we've had to go up to 3-to-1, and it just depends on your patients, and they try to prioritize people who need a little less care or a little less planning to do throughout the day. They try to give them maybe 3 patients if they have to, but they're actually really good. I mean, still very, very sick, but in the perspective of what we've seen, they're doing very well. We call them stable sick. They're in the ICU, so they're not actually stable, but we call them stable in the ICU setting. Oxygen requirements are very high. They're requiring a lot of assistance, but there isn't, like, there's some patients we can look at the monitor. It's like, oh, no, they're going to get tubed at some point. We try to fight off them getting tubed. They seem to be like, we're just trying to work that oxygen requirement down.
And by that, you mean intubated?
Yeah, intubated. That's right. I mean, it's changed everything just coming into work. Like, first thing we do is when we get in the room and we see that we're going to have a COVID patient, we call down to supply and order up these masks, the N95 masks that I have sitting over there. And then everyone kind of has their own setup. I like to clean my area when I come in and set up a little stand of all my COVID protection gear over there. And that's kind of like where I go to if I need to go in the room. Then every time you go in the room, you got to put all the mask, eye double mask, and then put my gown on and face shield. And that alone can take you like 5 minutes. So if someone takes off their oxygen and desats really bad, it's like a frantic thing to get everything on just to get in there.
Sure.
Yeah, it's, you just never know like what you're going to get. Unfortunately, the virus has made it very challenging. One day you have a patient, you make like a great connection. Like one, it could be either one of these patients. You talk with them, have a great day. It's like, oh, they're looking so good. And then you come in 2 days later for your next shift and they're intubated. It's like, wow, they look really bad. So it's hard to see that. And then it's hard to have to talk to the family, especially when you give them like such a reassuring update.
Each of the 18 beds in the Grove City COVID ward were filled the day I visited. Some patients were doing better than others. A few patients were attached to dialysis machines because the virus had severely weakened their kidneys. Several were intubated and hooked up to a ventilator, which pumped oxygen into their lungs and carbon dioxide out. Patients who were on ventilators were sedated and their wrists were restrained so that if they woke up in shock, they couldn't pull the ventilator tubes from their throat and possibly injure themselves. Sitting near the back of the ICU, where most patients were intubated, was Nurse Brandon Mulvaney. He wore scrubs and two masks. One was an N95 mask that filters out particles from the air, including the virus. The second was a surgical mask, which he wore over the N95 mask to keep it from getting dirty.
I fear what will happen after. For me personally, I think that a lot of the nurses, if you get into nursing, it's because you love people and you want to help. So I don't think anybody's going to leave during it, but I fear what's going to happen after. I mean, we're like begging for help every single day. And you know, we usually typically get it, just because, again, the kind of people that nurses are, right? You don't get into nursing if you don't have some kind of compassion in your heart. Mm-hmm. So I think that for me, I talk a lot. My wife's a nurse too. She works at the OR in Children's, so she doesn't quite see what I see. She understands that it's real, but you know, she has a totally different perspective because, one, it's not as prevalent in kids, and she's in the OR, so she's not really seeing. I mean, occasionally they'll have like a positive kid, but they're fine. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the asymptomatic ones that just happen to get tested because maybe a parent had it or something.
Sure, sure.
But it's nice for me to kind of have a, because sometimes I, you know, I feel like I definitely have a jaded perspective because this is what we see every single day, and it's been since March. You know, we had a little bit of a break there where for some reason, I don't know why, but the patients weren't as sick. But now it's right back to where we were in March and April and beginning of the summer. So I know that my view is jaded, and she kind of helps bring it back to perspective for me sometimes. But you don't even, you met this person 2 shifts ago, and now you're the one holding their hand as they pass. So. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because you just, and it's hard for their families to see too. And my heart goes out to all families. I think that one of the hardest things for a lot of families is they can't come see them. So a lot of them don't know what to do, right? They keep these people holding on for a long time, and unfortunately they're not going to make it, but they can't see them. It's hard, for them to understand through the phone what's really going on. You know, you're in and out of these rooms so much, especially back here. You know, there's, even though one of my patients is fairly stable, you know, all the other patients or all the other nurses have really sick patients, so it's, you're not just watching out for your patient.
Right, you're looking out for each other.
Yeah, and it's a lot. I mean, when you have two really sick patients, I mean, it's, that patient typically pre-COVID would be a 1-to-1. There would only be one nurse for that patient, but we just can't do it anymore.
While the ICU was filled with nurses, another frontline worker floated between patient rooms the day I visited. Respiratory therapist Brenda Klingerman wore a large gray and purple respirator. She removed it to reveal her bruised nose and indentations below her eyes. The markings were redder and deeper than Nurse Kyle Day's, the result of a longer shift and more intense protective gear she needed to wear.
Getting close to patients and watching them pass away, that's really probably the hardest part.
Sure.
I mean, it's really hard. And then at first it was incredible fear that, you know, we might get it because we helped to intubate, help put patients on vents and BiPAPs and airbows and give them breathing treatments. So we're really up and close and personal, just like the nurses are. So we were concerned about getting it, of course. Well, it's hard. I tried to be a calming influence and be very peaceful and reassuring and encourage them to stick with the therapies. It's just, it's hard because the BiPAP is uncomfortable, the tube in your trachea is uncomfortable. So it's a lot of just, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. We have a great team of nurses. We have a great team that's taking care of you. And then when they can talk, like on the BiPAP off and on, or on the Aerobo, that's when we really get to know them. And they share their life, and I like them to talk about their life and if they're married, they have kids, and kind of get them thinking about that and how blessed they are that they have a family or, you know, whatever they have. Mm. And that's how I get to know them. And a lot of us, even the nurses, get to know them. We take time to just talk. And that's the highlight of my day. Highlight of my day is not, you know, just doing my job. It's more than that. The highlight of my day is getting to know people and becoming intimate with them.
Sure.
That's what makes my day. But it's the ones that you think are going to make it.
It sounds heartbreaking.
It is. Yeah. It's very traumatic, and I'm wondering how that's going to affect, once this is all over, you know how they talk about post-traumatic stress syndrome, know what I mean? I'm wondering how that's going to affect everyone.
Absolutely.
In the future. Absolutely. So we've been praying that this vaccine will really work, and people will be compliant and get both shots, and I don't know, my heart just goes out to the patients. It's terrifying for them not to be able to breathe, and every breath is like hard to get. I don't know. It's a real crisis.
One thing was clear after speaking with so many frontline workers in a COVID ward. They were tired, but not deterred. At the end of the day, they were focused on their patients and making sure they had the best care possible, even if it meant long hours and bruised faces. To read more about my visit to Mount Carmel Grove City's coronavirus ICU, check out dispatch.com.